Hi there. Welcome to Sound Healing Radio. This is David Gibson, and our guest today is James Word. Hi, James.
Hello, David.
Welcome. James is one of our instructors. James teaches sound and rhythm, rhythm, sound, and healing. And he's a master at it, I tell you. It just amazes me every time I sit in on his class. He's really just a master teacher. And as we do, I like to set an intention for the class, and we decided the intention would be, may all of our rhythms be in harmony. So before we get started, though, I'd like to say a few things about what's happening at the school right now, various things coming up, classes and such. We do have the certificate program starting again at the Institute, certificate and associate degree program, starting on May 20th. If you were to pay in full within the next week, you could still get a big discount for those programs, a certificate and associate degree. That's three nights a week and some weekends at the Institute. And we also have the summer intensive version coming up as well, starting June 9th. It's June 9th to the 22nd. So if you're out of town or out of the country, it's a perfect way to get immersed into the whole sound healing program. It's every day. We take one day off from 10 in the morning to 9:30 at night, and we haven't really killed off anybody yet.
In fact, what I hear, David, is it's quite the contrary. People have such an incredible experience and learn so much that, you know, it's almost like they want to stay forever.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. I've had people almost every summer. What happens is after people, when you get in the zone and you just do it day and night, it's like it actually inspires you and it feeds you energy, and you just get so in the zone that you go really, really deep. So what happens is after the 2 weeks, just about every single person actually flies back in for the second half in August, which is August 4th to the 17th. Although you don't have to, you could just do the first 2 weeks, because we make it so the first 2 weeks are the classes that are best done at the Institute, and you could do the rest online afterwards as well to finish the certificate if you wanted to, or you could come back. Yeah. We also have the audio. I'm sorry?
David, I was just going to say that's where I really enjoy so much of what you do in the program is, you know, so much of our education system just doesn't have the depth of experience that it requires to really go deeply into the knowledge of something and the experience of something and make real lasting changes from that experience. And so I think you offer that, and that's so unique compared to so much education that goes on in this country.
Yeah. You know, it's cool. I mean, some people say that, you know, they like to have a little time to absorb things. But also, when you get into the zone and just do it over and over, you do absorb it, and I think deeper into your system when you really, because you can't go deeper if you just do 3 hours and go home. I mean, if you do 3 hours or even 6 hours and then do 9 hours in a day and do it over every day, I mean, goodness, it transforms your whole system. I mean, really seriously transforms.
And that completely sounds like rhythm to me.
Yeah, really it is. Yeah. We also have the audio recording program starting May 20th as well. And we might actually, we've got somebody flying in from England to do the audio recording. They want to do an intensive audio recording program. So if we get enough people for that, we might actually do an intensive version as well. But we do have the 3 months version happening May 20th as well. We also have some really interesting stuff happening at the school right now. First of all, you know, I just finished my book, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing, and you can check that out at CompleteGuideToSoundHealing.com. And it's really very much in depth, and it goes into all the aspects of sound and how it affects you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But the other thing I'm really excited about right now is our new store. If you go to Resonant Harmony SF, as in San Francisco, ResonantHarmonySF.com, We've got crystal bowls. We've got Tibetan bowls. And the coolest thing is we have a page where you can play all of our alchemical bowls. These are bowls that have different gemstones and metals embedded in the crystal bowl. And I have recordings of all of them. But the fun part is you can play more than one bowl at a time. So you can get binaural beats, you can listen to different harmonies. It's really fun, and the recordings are really high quality. We have all types of other stuff in the store. It's really quite amazing just to sit in the physical store and really absorb the energy. So check that out as well. One other thing, we've got a class, a one-time class on my birthday, on March 25th. We have a woman named Ingrid from Crystal Tones that is coming in and doing a special class on the alchemical bowls. You know, these alchemical bowls, they just really take you out, or I should say take you in. They're really, really effective, and she's going to do a little mini concert and do a whole class on it. And And then there's other treatments we do. You can check out the whole website at soundhealingcenter.com or email me at david@soundhealingcenter.com, or my phone number is 415-777-2486. Cool. So, James, tell us about what you do and how you got into what you do.
Well, so what I do... I do several different things. One is the class at your Sound and Consciousness Institute, which is Rhythm and Sound. And the rhythm component of the class really has to do with this type of work I'm certified to facilitate, which is called Takatina. That's T-A-K-E-T-I-N-A, Takatina. And Takatina has been around for 40 years. It was founded by an Austrian man named Reinhard Flatischler. And he's really developed the work on a very deep level for healing, for transformation, for community, for team building. It does so much. And that's because rhythm itself, you know, really is kind of the core foundation of everything. And this rhythm is life, and life is rhythm. And so that's really where I come from, is the Takatina background, and then how that interrelates with sound and sound healing.
Tell us more about the Takatina, how it works. I know I can give you my impression, which is I've sat in on the class many, many times because it's so much fun. I mean, basically what I see, the way I would explain it is that you have people first start, you do a little circle and have everybody, you play a rhythm. And everybody steps to the rhythm, step left, step right. And then you add another thing where you clap, you know, and then you add another thing where you do a little sound in between. And then you keep adding more and more complex rhythms while you're playing the coolest rhythms, you know, and you just add more and more. So at a certain point, there's no way that the person can keep track of all the different rhythms that you've given them to do physically, mentally. There's no way they can mentally keep track of it. So they either fall out of the rhythm, which is really funny, or they let go and let their whole system just do it without thinking. And that's the essence. It's just beautiful. It seems that the essence is to show people that threshold between thinking and letting go and just being the rhythm, which is really profound.
Yeah, I would say that's a very accurate, you know, description of the work. And, you know, to even go a little bit further into how that works, you know, you set the intention at the beginning of the show as all our rhythms being in harmony with each other. Mm. And so how is it possible that we can layer one rhythm and then another and another, and even somebody that has absolutely no rhythm experience or even experience with music can, after a certain amount of time, fall into this rhythm? And the reason why that's possible is because the rhythms that we use in Takatina are harmonic rhythms. They're polyrhythms that really are the same vibrational forces that happen in harmonies and the harmonic spectrum, the harmonic series, but actually on a much slower pace. So it falls into this realm that we call rhythm.
And it's also the rhythms. You're really using the rhythms within the natural world, within our body, within the whole planet. I mean, you know, I've always felt that in fact, we're looking at doing a research project. One of our students is for this semester and the second semester on how all the rhythms must be in harmony in the body. And I think of it as the heart, the breath, the even cranial sacral rhythms, the rhythms of walking, and even that I think that might be tied to your soul frequency, which is just a rhythm sped up. And I can't imagine that all the rhythms in the body, they have to be in harmony. It just would not make sense that one is kind of doing like you know, that's completely off unless that person is not well.
Exactly. I think that's very well put, that nature and all rhythms, and that's us really, we're part of nature, we're part of all the rhythm cycles, is the more we can be in harmony and all the internal rhythms are in harmony, then that's the state of ease, that's the state of wellness. But there can happen, it can happen, you know, especially in our brain rhythms and in different parts of our body where the rhythms can get out of phase or get out of harmony with the other rhythms. And that's really where problems start to creep up.
It seems like you need a little bit of chaos, though, in the world. Although it's interesting when you look at it, like the body has some chaos that keeps things growing and changing. So what about? So we're not talking about perfection here, huh?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I love this topic you're bringing up. You know, most of us we think of chaos and order, and they're like two realms, chaos and order. But actually, on a very deep level, I would posit that chaos itself is actually a deeply healthy, intelligent force. Mm. And that really chaos and order are kind of this dance of intelligence, this dance of information. It's this universal dance of love that happens back and forth. But the thing that gets in the way of that is not chaos, it's actually disorder. Disorder is really the problem. You know, when the heart is supposed to be beating in one rhythm and related to your blood circulation, your cranial sacral rhythm, and for some reason, maybe an anomaly in the nervous system or something, the heart rate isn't flexible enough to change with circumstances, then it actually, even though it's a regular rhythm that would be quote-unquote perfect, that becomes a problem and is actually a state of disorder because it's not responding and dancing with the rest of the system.
That's interesting. So it's really about the flow. I mean, it's not like that you need a stable rhythm in your body. You just need a rhythm that is flexible and easily malleable to the things around you, and so there's a flow. And when the heart doesn't adjust to any changes, then that's when the problem happens.
That's exactly right.
Uh-huh.
And I actually find that the rhythms of the heart are fascinating. They have all these overtones and this big spectrum. And researchers, these are medical researchers, are finding that only when somebody is about to go into a heart attack, they find that the heart actually begins beating at a perfect rhythm, very steady rhythm. So that's actually a problem, is this perfection.
So now this is interesting because it brings up, and we can get back to Dr. Tina in a bit, but it brings up the thing that is really funny. It's like some people say that drum machines are not that healthy. Now, it's interesting because on one level, a consistent, perfectly consistent rhythm of drum machines may not be healthy, but the worst thing that makes people the most uncomfortable is bad rhythm. You know, I mean, it's like, I don't have that great a rhythm. I'm not that bad, but it's like when people play something and they can't keep time, everybody kind of goes, ah, and even their heart kind of goes, ah, and it's just so funny. So on one hand, I think, you know, a drum machine is not ideal because it's so stable, but it is a rhythm better. It's better than a completely somebody that's got really bad rhythm.
Exactly. And actually, you know, this sense of perfection, actually, you know, if you look at nature, there are moments of pristine perfection, right, that really occur, but it's always in relationship to everything else in the surroundings, and it always has its moment when it is in this state of perfection, but then it falls out of it, and it goes through this chaos phase into its next state. So it's really the flexibility that allows that perfection.
So it seems like I wanted to mention one thing. Richard Feather Anderson, in the sacred geometry class, he calls the perfection, which is the sacred geometry in nature, he calls that the marching orders. But then that's the orders, but then everything kind of just falls into whatever relationship with everything around it and such. And it's like I've been noticing when I go on hikes, okay, it seems to be a lot of chaos the way all the grass and plants are laid out across the field. It seems like it's, but then there'll be like clumps of things in certain areas, and I can see there's like underlying it, there's perfect order, but the chaos is making it breathe and making it really unique and different in every way.
That's right, and that's the flexibility. It's just, you know, like it's human beings and our fingerprints. All of our fingerprints are totally different, but we still all look like human beings, and there's still kind of the same underlying intelligence or DNA that's behind that. But exactly the way that deep intelligence plays itself out is what is the flexibility with all the other systems that exist. And that's where the real beauty comes in, yeah?
The beauty, really. You know, it's interesting. It's because I really, when you look at all the different systems of sound, I mean, first of all, we know that rhythm is really just the same as frequency. It's just slowed down frequency. Or you could say frequency is just rhythm sped up. And one thing that I learned from your class that I mean, a long time ago, is that every rhythm is an actual note, which is really interesting. So a lot of I've learned from you that a lot of the dynamics within multiple rhythms are the same dynamics that are within musical intervals and chords.
That's right. So like a 3-2 polyrhythm together is the same as a musical fifth.
Uh-huh. What would a 3-2 polyrhythm sound like?
A 3-2 polyrhythm is go, ba-kum, ba-go, ba-kum, ba-go, ba-kum, ba-go, ba-kum, ba-go, ba-kum, ba.
So break out the three.
Okay, let's do it in a slightly different way. So let's do the 2 and 3 actually as go. Goom ba goo, go. Goom ba goo, go. Goom ba goo. So here's the three. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And then the two, go. Goom ba goo is 1. Goom, 2. 1. Mm, 2 goo. So that would be, you know, a fairly slow tempo that would provide this framework that then you could put more syncopations on top of, or really be able to accent each layer of the rhythm, the two or the three, in a way that would bring it out more, maybe bring it more into the foreground and the other goes more into the background. Or maybe you want both to be in the same, you know, same intensity, so you can really sense them both happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, one thing I've realized, and this is really, I haven't mentioned this, maybe you've seen it in the book, but I've realized that higher consciousness seems to be the key to higher consciousness is multi-track mind, where you're tuning into multiple things at once. Because really, the ultimate state is where you're tuning into everything in the universe at once, where you are one with everything in the universe. So when you start to tune into two rhythms or multiple rhythms at a time, you're on the way, if not already partially there, where you're in a higher state of consciousness. Because it's such a different state when you're tuning into multiple things at once. Our brain works differently, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that goes back to, that is our essential intelligence, is there's a very deep intelligence in us that's able to just be within this intelligent living network that we are constantly in. You know, you look at little infants and babies, and they're just completely connected to everything that is, and just open to all the possibilities and curious, very, very curious of what is happening, what's going on. And then you look at an adult, you know, that's older, and maybe you're having a conversation with them, but you can tell that they're just kind of trapped in this one type of thought, this one layer. You know, they're just paying attention to one possibility, and so much of the rest of this totality is kind of lost. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really our task as adults, is to go back experientially to that place of being open to all possibilities, and going deeper into that intelligence that's really within all of us, while at the same time integrating what we've learned along the way. And so I think that's our path as human beings, really, as adults. Whereas the infant, you know, the baby infant really doesn't have the choice. They're just learning. They're just absorbing. And so it's a different task for an adult.
It's so funny
that somehow the same.
Uh-huh. It's so funny that our education values so disproportionately the focus on one thing, instead of really, really getting back to. Because really, I think the essence of genius is when you can see the forest and the trees at the same time.
That's right. That's right. And the thing that's counterintuitive about that is, in order to see the forest and the trees at the same time, you actually have to allow yourself to not know, to not focus on one or the other, to actually let go of, you know, our normal way of perception. So that's really the more challenging part of this.
It is just so funny when I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
I was saying, it is just so funny when we're doing Takatina to watch the mind jump back and forth between, oh, okay, maybe I should count this and try and figure out where I should be doing this. And then if you think, oh, no, I'll just let go. And then it's so funny. It's just like this little dance your mind goes through of like, oh boy, but I need to know reality. I got to know where I am in the world. It's like I got to have something to hold on to. And then you let go and you're like, okay, cool. Now I'm in the flow. It's just profound that really dance back and forth between the mind and the heart.
That's right. It's profound, and it's profound to be aware of that process that's actually occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're exactly right. That's like one of the main reflections people have after experiencing Takatina, is exactly what you just said. They said, what I found out is that when I was trying to do it, when I was thinking about doing it, when thoughts came into my head, then I fell out. I completely fell out of rhythm. And only when I could find a way to let that go and open up to what was really just happening in the moment, and then it clicked in. And that's what we call falling into rhythm. So there's falling out of rhythm, and it's falling into rhythm.
So tell us more about the basics of Takatina.
Yeah, absolutely. So we mentioned earlier that one of the core aspects of Takatina is this doing the different layers of rhythm. So say polyrhythm. So you have one rhythm cycle in your feet, another rhythm cycle in your hand claps or maybe a rattle, and then a third in the voice. So you're using the voice and call and response in the group. And it's done in a group setting, so you have kind of this support network where everybody is together, and the more people that are there together sharing this same experience, they can also help each other. So you become more and more free to be able to let go of the rhythm, to fall out, you know, with absolutely no fear. There's no judgment. It doesn't make any sense in the world of Takatina. In fact, the more you can allow yourself to fall out and just crack up about it, just laugh and have fun with this process of knowing and not knowing and, whoa, what just happened, then the more you allow that process to happen, the deeper and deeper you go into the experience. And then those moments when everything clicks in and everything becomes completely clear and you're without thought but with complete intelligence. And you can look across the circle and see other people's faces, and you just, some people in that moment, you know, may have never experienced that before in their lives. And so that's, it's such a beautiful thing. It's really impossible to talk about it, that full experience.
It's also, it's interesting because if you want to learn about rhythm and actually create the rhythm, now, that's my impression is, and I'm really not clear about this at all. I don't have a good idea. It seems like it is a bit of a mental process to start with, but you've got some really cool ways of looking at rhythm visually that make it, that just like all of a sudden make it really easy. That I remember of using the circle and such.
That's right. It's where the rhythm looks more kind of like it's a visual circular way that really connects and speaks much more to the energetics of rhythm, like what's really happening in these rhythm cycles as they go around and around and around, and they start and they play out over a certain amount of time, and then they return to the one or the beginning of the cycle. So I really do believe that that having these types of visuals that look actually kind of like mandalas as you add the different layers on top of them, you know, very symmetrical and circular and different colors, they really do kind of speak, I think, much, much more clearly this deeper intelligence, this deeper language than, say, a musical score does.
You know, it's interesting. It just occurred to me because we often think of rhythm as linear time. And when you think of it as a circle, then it becomes almost like the quantum world without time in a way. I guess you still
right,
have to have time anyway, but, huh?
Well, I'm not so sure, actually. I really fundamentally believe that when you're really in this world, absorbed in it, it's absolutely timeless. It is actually the sensation, it's the experience, it's the embodiment, really, of timelessness. And then how valuable is that in our society where all we have is time pressure?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Greeks had two words for time. They had chronos and kairos. And chronos is this linear aspect of time, just one thing after another.
Uh-huh.
Here, 1 second, here, 1.5 seconds. You know, it's there are watches named after Chronos. So Chronos is this very meticulous, one moment after the next, quantitative measure of time. But more importantly, they defined kairos. And kairos is our experience of time. What is our experience from this moment to next? How are we actually experiencing going from our living room to the car? Not the amount of time it takes, but what is the subjective experience that happens in that moment? And I just feel like that is such an important thing, and it speaks everything to, you know, awareness and being connected to our surroundings. So kairos, I think, is a very powerful aspect of time that the Greeks defined a long time ago that we somehow, I think, have lost track of in our modern society. We're so focused on chronos, and we really could move more towards this aspect of kairos.
It is so amazing to talk to some specialists on rhythm and to get to the aspect that the core component of it, that the profundity, the essence of it is no time. And that's true. It's so cool because really the whole thing is really about being present in the moment. God, it's interesting because your brain, when it's not, but it's funny because if you're just present in the moment completely, I mean, I actually, my mind kind of goes to like a little bit of a confusion there because you're 100% present in the moment, but you still have this very particular complex rhythm flowing through you. So it's like you're present in the moment with the past and future presence also. How's that? Help me with that.
I think that is always been, you know, this temptation to be on one side or the other. It's like, well, is it time or is it timelessness?
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, the old ancient traditions speak to this very well. You know, it's kind of like a somebody asking their Zen master a question. Is it time or is it timelessness? And the answer is yes. Or the answer is no. You know, it's really both. It's the entire integral experience. It's the entire continuum of everything that's interplaying all in the same moment. And all the possibility and all the flexibility. All the thisness, the thusness, and also all the nothingness and the emptiness, but at the same time. And that blows our minds, right? Because it leaves this world of polarity, but somehow at the same time still embraces it.
It's cool. It's really just amazing to use rhythm as a portal to higher state of consciousness. I think it's just so cool. I mean, it's a blessing, and it's really the way that rhythm should be taught in the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of debate about this, but I think that this is really why there is rhythm on this planet and why these cultures again and again and again have found rhythm. You know, I think even if all the cultures disappeared and all maybe even human life disappeared, and then it sprung back up again, maybe through some evolutionary process or some magic, whatever that was that brought, you know, intelligent life forward. I believe those same intelligent creatures would find rhythm in music. They would find the same process of the interplay, and they would also connect to it and honor it. And that's, I think there's no mistake why rhythm in music is just ubiquitous across all of the cultures, right?
You know, I wanted to ask Doug, or I think it's Doug that's helping us out here, if he could prepare the song Heart for us, because it occurred to me this would be a perfect rhythmical song to play. If you're there, Doug, I was doing the chat on the Skype, but I'm not getting a response. So if you hear me, go ahead and get that ready. Heart, okay? So you also, there's another aspect that's really cool in your class that I just, it amazes me, and that is you show like pictures of flowers that have different sets of numbers of petals in them, and then actually play the actual rhythm of the flower. Do you have some examples of that?
One of the examples that comes to mind is one of my personal favorite, actually, because I spent so much time, like you, walking and hiking, you know, in the mountains and the hills and the gardens. I live in Berkeley, California, so walking around, seeing all these gardens, so many people have so many different flowers that they've brought in and they're growing and planting. So especially in the spring, it's just so amazing to walk through. And for me, visually, that's always been the fascination I have, because I see in all of these flowers, I see these rhythms, and I'm seeing polyrhythms, and they completely connect to the same rhythms that we're doing in Tocantina. Like a really good example is the passion flower. If you look up the passion flower, you'll see the rhythm of the two rhythms together of 5 and 3. So this is a 5 and 3 polyrhythm that really doesn't, almost doesn't exist in at least modern music. I mean, it's so rare that 5 and 3, if you turn on a radio station anywhere in the world nowadays, I don't think you would find a 5 and 3 song being played. But that combination, that particular combination of the rhythm is so beautiful. It's so incredible. It blows me away that it's not really being played, because there's something about it that just feels very, very serene and connected to ourselves, our bodies, the earth. It's hard to describe, but I really love this 5 and 3 polyrhythm. And this is the passion flower. So if you look up the passion flower, you see the 5 and 3.
So it's got one ring of three petals and another ring of 5 petals?
Well, I think what it looks like to me is that the outer petals have this 5 aspect to them. And then inside, you know, I believe it's called the stamen, pistil or stamen, I forget what that's called. But that has 3. And the way it visually lines up is absolutely perfect. I mean, there's no mistaking it. It's absolutely a 5 and 3 polyrhythm.
Can you do easily a 5 and 3 for us?
Sure.
Cool. Again, if you're there, Doug, I want to play the heart song in just a minute.
You want me to play the heart song?
Oh, you're there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, can you get it ready, heart?
You bet I will.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I've got it for you.
Okay, cool.
This would be in Tocantina language, almost like singing. I think this is really where it's most beautiful. Go. Ba gum ba, ba gu, ba lele go. Ba gum ba, ba gu, ba lele go. Ba gum ba, ba gu, ba lele. So that's basically a 5 and 3 fusion together. The ba that you heard would be what connects to your claps, and the goes and goos are what are connecting to those footsteps. And just as I did it there during this radio broadcast, you can't see that, but I actually embodied it as I did it. So I was doing the steps and the claps at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Cool. And that's,
and that's the type of rhythm that we can go into as a group together. And then when it really sinks in and you have this whole choir sound happening in the group, it's just so transcendent. You really go very deep with it. It's a beautiful experience.
It is really interesting that what you said. I didn't realize that the more people, and it makes sense, the more people are doing something, it's like the rhythm becomes like so in the room. It's like the walls are vibrating it, that there's it just really takes over your whole system, and you don't have to think at all. It's really so cool.
That's right. I mean, just as you said that, I was thinking, you know, let's say you've got two crystal bowls, and the pitch is related to each other. And it's the same analogy. So all of a sudden in the room, you have the rhythm, and everybody begins vibrating like those two bowls singing at the same time. And, of course, the walls and everything else is influenced by that.
Cool. So let's take a little break here and have Doug play the Heart Song. This is a song that's got a good amount of rhythms, not any complex rhythms, but just about as complex as I could get. But it does have fast rhythms and slow rhythms together, which I really like. And the essence of this is the heart. It's actually based on a quantum field from a company called NutriEnergetics about the actual morphogenetic field of the actual physical heart in the body.
You know, while you're looking for it, one thing I wanted to mention is you really talked about being in the present moment and being in the flow of rhythm. You know, that's really an important aspect of this. When that all clicks in for any individual or the group or on whatever level that clicks in on, that really means in that moment everybody's in the flow. Or not everybody, but, you know, a certain number of people are in the flow, and everybody individually is going in and out of the flow because there's full freedom and flexibility there. But flow, I think, is a wonderful consideration to think about in relation to tasks and musical tasks and education. And Takatine is really good in this. You asked me to talk a little bit about, you know, how it works, maybe the mechanics. And flow is a good way to talk about it because there's the concept, actually a rigorous scientific research on flow was done by a positive psychologist, pretty famous, named Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi. And Mihaly identified four aspects of flow, four what he called necessary conditions that have to occur in order for flow to occur.
Uh-huh.
And the four aspects are, the first one is focus on the present. So whatever the task is you're doing, it has to require that you're focusing on the present. The second one is there has to be no fear of failure. So that means, you know, that whatever the task is, you have to be in a safe environment and you have to feel free to lose it and come back to it and let go of it and not take it so seriously, right?
Mm.
You really have to let go of the failure aspect or the fear of failure. You have to allow yourself to fail, you know. And then the third is what's called sufficient challenge. So the challenge of the task can't be so great that it's unachievable. And it can't be so simple that it doesn't provide enough engagement or challenge. And so there has to be just this right balance of challenge. And even in Takatina, you can ratchet back this challenge. You can choose, okay, you know, I'll just do the footsteps and boy, I'll let go of the clap. So that's one way of, you know, if with the clap and the feet it becomes too much of a challenge, you can actually let go of one, at least one layer. You're still connected to everything else, but now you have this sufficient challenge. And then the final thing is that the task itself, the goal of the task has to be clear. So you have to know that, you have to know when, you have to have the feedback, the immediate feedback of knowing when it's working, when it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And those four conditions are the necessary conditions for any task, no matter what it is,
to create flow,
to bring you into the flow.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, when I in my book, I started looking at the different aspects of non-flow. And there seems to be a few different ways that things don't flow. I thought of flow as it's almost exactly the Fibonacci curve, where everything that is coming is based on what just happened. So there's a continuity. And the things that are not flowing, first of all, there's a flow that jumps around from one focus to another. You can still have flow in that respect, but you know, our normal chaotic, you know, oh, phone's ringing, oh, what are we going to do now? Up, you know, that's the broken flow. And then there's also the other problem with flow is stressful flow, where it's like, and then another problem with flow that really stops the flow is a dead end. And that's like serious stuck emotion or a serious emotional issue where you are just at a dead end and there's no flow at all.
Right, everything just stops there.
Uh-huh.
And the communication and the dance just has stopped. It hits a roadblock, right?
Right. And that can cause some serious, not only emotional issues, but serious physical issues as well.
Absolutely.
Or any of those. So I always think of it as the smoothness of the flow. It's actually two parts. It seems like the other one you mentioned before that we talked about before is the natural breathing in the flow. But it's also the consistency or continuity of the flow.
That's right. You know, we have this term equanimity, right?
Uh-huh.
Which means not being swayed in the moment by these ever-changing emotional climates, you know, where you're really being bounced around like as a ping pong ball between the different emotional states, but instead maintaining this kind of thread of consciousness that goes through, and more this witness state, so you're just watching and seeing how things are going rather than reacting to them. And that really provides that continuity.
Cool. Yeah, I think that's exactly the deal of peace and presence is that continuity that leads you into just that witness. Oh, that's perfect. Well, we do have the song ready now. It's called Imprinter, and it is actually about the heart. It's actually the morphogenetic field that imprints the heart information throughout our whole system, and it's a very specific non-local brain of the heart, and so that's what the intention of this song is about. So let's check this out, Imprinter.
Thank you.
that was really beautiful.
It makes me happy, that song.
It does. You know, I was going to say that I could feel my blood now moving better through the system.
Uh-huh. You know, it's interesting. I did this one, I produced this one project with this French guy, Cyril Verdot, and he used to say, you know, 64th notes are the deal. They bring people into higher states of consciousness. When you have many fast notes, it does something to us. You have any thoughts on that?
Fascinating. I mean, just as you say that, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is this traditional Indian music and the tabla, right?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, those guys are playing so fast with their fingers. And, you know, they keep these ragas, they just raise the energy to a higher and higher and higher level. And so I think maybe that's what he's talking about, that same bringing that energy up to higher and higher level. And those very fast notes, you know, holding all of that information together.
You know, it's the one part we didn't talk about, though we maybe talk about another time, that is the whole aspect of brainwave entrainment with different rhythms. Because really, the faster you get a rhythm, or the more notes, you're really approaching beta and then gamma, even, which is a really high state of meditation based on the Dalai Lama trained meditators that they've done EEG maps on. So it's funny. It's like we are going from like slow delta bum 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 to theta bum 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 to alpha da 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 da, da to beta brrr, all the way up to gamma, you know. And so it's in one way we are raising our consciousness up to those higher states. Although beta is a high state that we kind of live in, it's not that
exactly
high.
Exactly, and I think it's even the totality of all those rhythms being together in tune, if you will, in tune together. You know, when you're tuning an instrument, you get like something like an Indian tambura, you're getting all the low frequencies, but then as the tuning gets more and more perfect, those high frequencies really begin to appear, you know. So I keep that analogy for our rhythm, you know, the rhythm of life as well. The more we can get all those rhythms into alignment and the harmony with each other and in tune and in balance, then, you know, that's when the gamma frequencies really happen. They've even done research on Takatina and gamma waves,
okay.
Especially particularly with heart rate variability.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that what they're finding is that, you know, in a short amount of time, they're getting these same extreme, what they call high flaming gamma frequencies, that would be the same thing you would find, you know, in the research of monks that have been studying for 40 years.
Wow.
So, but this is happening in a, you know, in a quote unquote average person over a short period of time. And so I think there's a lot going on there. And you're right, that's a whole subject and a whole conversation that we could get into.
Cool. Well, we've only got a couple of minutes. Are there anything, any events or anything you'd like to share about anything you're doing that you'd like to let people know about and contact info or anything?
Sure, absolutely. You know, of course, is the next semester at the Sound and Consciousness Institute. That's your center, and the class will be in that next semester. As well, there are going to be a couple events, big events this year with the founder of Takatina. He's going to be here actually at the end of this month in Alameda. There'll be a little private session, and you could contact me if you want to be a part of that. That's jamesword@gmail.com. And then this fall, we're going to have a 3-day workshop, and that's going to be with the founder. He's going to be leading the workshop, and then I'll be supporting him during the workshop. And if you've never experienced a 3-day workshop with Takatina before, just take my word for it. It really is a very deep transformative experience that there's nothing else really kind of like it. And if you want to have that experience, this is the perfect time, because it only goes to the U.S. Every now and then, every couple of years. And these types of workshops don't happen much.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's jamesword@gmail.com. So if you will, take this this energy of holding the all rhythms in harmony into the evening, into the week ahead, months ahead, years ahead, lifetimes ahead. And thank you so much, James, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's been a real pleasure.
All right. Take care.